Welcome to the Regarding Leadership Podcast, a podcast around the table. In this podcast, we have conversations and content regarding leadership that is healthy and heartfelt, proven and practical for leaders who are actually leading. I'm your host, Ryan D.B. Kimmel, and I am blessed to have you with us. At a recent staff meeting at our church, I started by asking this question: how do you know when a routine has become a rut? Now, this is applicable to all facets of life to some extent, but let's talk about it when it comes to our work. Now, when I asked the question, how do you know when a routine has become a rut? It was one of those moments where you could just tell people knew exactly what I was asking. So here's what I was asking. How do you know when you've lost your drive? When frustration feels like it outweighs passion? When what you've been doing just doesn't seem to be working? How do you know when a routine becomes a rut? Now, while we all knew what I was asking, describing the question was easier than answering it. And so, after some discussion around our numerous tables that we were sitting at, I proposed four ways to know when a rhythm becomes a rut. And I say this out of lived experience. The first is this: we lose perspective. We've taken our eyes off the prize, and rather than working towards the goal, we just start working for the paycheck. That attaining the vision evolves into simply sustaining the program. A rhythm becomes a rut when we lose perspective, and with this is this subpoint: we forget what others are experiencing. What I mean is that we forget the impact our work or our ministry is having. We lose perspective in the sense that we don't put ourselves in the shoes of those who are affected by what we do. On this side of eternity, we don't get to see the extent of the positive impact that we can have through our work and ministry. And we all know in our world, negative press spreads 10 times faster than good news. So we need to keep the encouragement flowing. We need to constantly be expressing appreciation, because the devil does not stop accusing. The enemy is relentless in trying to wear us down. And so, do for others what you'd want done for you. Remind each other of the good things that are happening. This helps us keep perspective. So the first way to know when a rhythm has become a rut is when we lose perspective, which leads to the second thing: our creativity diminishes. Now, some of you may think, hey, I wasn't creative to begin with. And listen, I'm not saying you're an artist, but if you are made in the image of God, and you are, then you are creative because you are made in the image of a creative God. Sure, it may look differently depending on what you do for work or your calling, but you are creative. And this is seen in being innovative, in trying new things, in helping to see things grow. And so the subpoint of losing our creativity means this: we lose sight of what could be happening. This reminds us that creativity comes out in the vision we create or have for our call, whether in work or in ministry, or in life for that matter. So it's a simple but important question. Have you lost sight of what could be happening in and through your work, your calling, or ministry? This is a sign of diminished creativity, which comes out from our rhythms becoming ruts. So when was the last time you had a new idea for what you do? When was the last time a vision inspired you? When was the last time you took a risk? And this leads us to the third thing, which is probably the most obvious way or the most indicative way of getting into a rut. Stagnation occurs. Things just stop, or they slow to a crawl. Firstly, in your spirit, which we'll talk about, but this is seen when it seems like nothing is moving, that you feel like you haven't tasted or seen the fruit of your labor in a while, that the only movement you feel is the days going by, if even that. And the subpoint of this, in many ways, is the root of the problem. We stop feeling challenged. There's no obstacle to overcome, no lesson to be learned, or problem to be solved. Or at least, we've stopped seeing them, we've stopped feeling them, and or we've stopped receiving them. Stagnation and lack of challenge go hand in hand. You'll have a hard time convincing me that you're being effective if you stop being challenged. And I feel like I need to say that one again. You'll have a hard time convincing me you're being effective if you're not also being challenged. Or put it like this: stagnation comes from the lack of growth, and it's hard to grow without being challenged. Challenged to try something new or learn something new. And so here's a quick remedy for this. Get someone in your life to mentor you, teach you, or challenge you. or maybe enroll in a class or attend a seminar, something that will expose you to new and interesting ideas, inspiring ideas to help you reverse the stagnation and get you on the path to fruitfulness again. I sit with guys who are older than me and who have more responsibility than me, and I learn from them. And yes, I recognize the ask for their time is great, but I'm telling you, they are happy to give it because people who are growing and who have learned something, they like to help others grow and learn as well. So the third way to identify being in a rut is that stagnation occurs because we stop feeling challenged, which leads to the last one that I want to discuss, although there are so many more that we could talk about. But the fourth way we find ourselves in a rut is this: we become dispassionate. And for me, this is what being in the rut typically means. We lose our drive. Our passion is no longer there. Maybe things aren't stagnant, but we're phoning it in. We are repeating the past instead of inventing the future. Maybe we still love the idea of what we do, but we don't love doing it anymore. And as a person who has both felt this personally, but honest, also witnessed this professionally, let me be frank with you. This shows. It's not easy to hide when we've lost our passion. When a person becomes uninterested in their own work or dispassionate towards their own calling, that will become evident and probably much sooner than anyone would want to realize. And the consequences of this are multifaceted, but let me just hit on one subpoint. To continue to operate from a place of dispassion, we ultimately undermine our leadership credibility. No one wants to work for, follow, or employ a person who is uninterested in what they do or dispassionate about their own work. We may think we're hiding it with a great attitude and a smiling face, but dispassion exposes itself in ways we cannot hide. Like all ruts, it's going to be clear. We stop cheering on our own work. We stop showing excitement. We stop inviting others to be a part of what we're doing. Dispassion shows. And so when we fall out of healthy routines and productive rhythms and find ourselves in ruts, here's what we can do. We can combat the rut. And let me give you two ways that I shared with my staff. The first is this: to combat the rut, keep your calling front and center. And secondly, to combat the rut, get in a new lane. Let's take a moment and process these. But let's start with the first one. To combat the rut, keep your calling front and center. Now, under this, there are a few subpoints. The first is this: you are called not just to clock it in, but to create, especially if you're in ministry, when you are there just for a check. And listen, I say this in love, but if you are there just for a check, you will inevitably be a disservice to the ministry you're a part of, because in ministry, this attitude is not sustainable. Ruts are not maintainable, and working for money is not our ministry calling. We are to work for the Lord. So, take some time to dream again. Think about the future of bearing fruit for the kingdom. Now, if you work for a great leader or with a great team, they will encourage you to take time to do just that. Keep your calling front and center by also remembering this: you are called not just to do, but to develop. The kingdom is to go forth, not simply be maintained. It's meant to grow as it gathers more people into the fold of God's family. Please do not just show up and do, but develop the acre you've been given. My team hears this from me all the time, and you probably will hear this from me all the time. I'd rather use reins than spurs, meaning I'd rather have to hold you back from going too far too fast than have to constantly be nudging you. Of course, we are called to be a source of encouragement to our team, and we are called to spur one another on towards love and good works. But when it comes to your job, I'd rather use reins than spurs on you. So don't just do, but develop. To combat the rut, keep your calling front and center, which leads to this third subpoint. Remember, you are called not just to lead, but to love. Every position comes with some level of authority to do what the responsibility requires. But Christian leadership must be marked by love. Otherwise, it's not Christian leadership. Love for the people you work for, love for the people you work with, and love for the people that you serve. Love has a way of pulling us out of dark places, so reclaim the love, and the most powerful way to do this is to remember the gospel. that God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for you. And as the scripture says, we love because he first loved us. So I'll say it again. You are called not just to lead, but to love, which leads to this subpoint D. You are called not just to operate your area, but own your area. Now, this is connected to subpoint B, not just do, but develop. So let me just say this. I believe in owning your area, but let me also balance this with some caution. Yes, own your area, but I have seen people own their areas in ways that take them outside the vision established for the whole. So when people own their areas, it still must fit into the larger vision. Here's an example. I've seen many youth pastors take their student ministries and own them to the extent where youth groups become like a sub-church within the church and thus start operating in ways that come into conflict with the elder-approved vision and direction for the church. This only leads to frustration among leadership. So yes, I do want people to own their areas, but that doesn't mean taking them into a place outside the vision for the whole church. Leaders, this means that as you own your area, you are making sure to keep in conversation with whoever you report to, keeping dialogue strong, and keeping vision clear. But as a lead pastor, I love to see people own their areas because ownership means investment, and investment means commitment. And so, if you're in a rut, remember to keep your calling front and center, and you are called to A, not just clock it in, but to create. B, not just do, but develop. C, not just lead, but love. And D, not just to operate your area, but own your area. And I'm sure you can see now how all of these overlap. Which leads to the second way to get out of a rut. To combat the rut, get in a new lane. While the previous encouragements are important to be reminded of, here's what I mean about getting in a new lane. Get in the habit of taking a new route. Meaning, many of us have the same routine every day. We get up at the same time, we take the same way to work, we walk in the same door at work, and our desk has been the same for who knows how long. And for those who work at a church, come Sunday or whenever you have services, pastors and staff have a much different experience on Sundays than the majority of the church or congregation. And while it's different than the rest of the church, it's always the same for us. And ruts happen whenever everything becomes the same. And when everything becomes the same, I think it's easy to forget what we're looking at and what we're doing. And as we talked about earlier with losing perspective, we forget what others are experiencing. So here's what I did with my staff a couple years ago. I told our staff they had to attend another church for a Sunday and to be reminded of what it's like to be in a new place and a new church. I wanted them to feel the anxiety of walking into a place they've never been, to feel the uncertainty of what to expect, and to lose the comfortability of knowing familiar faces, and maybe even feel the frustration of not finding a parking spot on Sunday. Simply put, I wanted them to get out of the same and to get into something new, to get out of the rut and find a new lane. Going to another church is a big example, but finding new lanes, that is, breaking the rut, is something we can do whether big or small. Try a different grocery store or stop using the same entrance at work. There are many ways, that is, many lanes we can take which will help combat the rut by opening us up to something new. Because here's the reality of when your rhythm becomes a rut. A rut is a rhythm. It's just a poor one. So break the rhythm of a rut by getting into a new lane. Doing this is about new experiences, and new experiences help us to learn. And so let's tie a bow on this. Make sure you recognize when you're in a rut, because especially in church staffing world, our grace-filled and joyful atmospheres can sometimes mask when we've fallen into a rut. So watch to see when this happens, because it happens to us all. Combat the rut by making sure you remember your calling and by finding new lanes, because your work is too important for you to be stuck in a rut. So may you find new lanes when a rhythm becomes a rut, and through it, may the vision feel fresher than it was, and may you become more passionate than you've been, and may your calling feel stronger than it's ever been.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone today. You can follow Regarding Leadership and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Regarding Leadership is brought to you by Round the Table, a ministry of Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan.